We are grateful for your presence this morning. If you have not been attuned to the theme of this morning's singing, we have been singing about hope and things that revolve around hope and what gives us hope, the things that we can look forward to, hopefully, in an expectation sort of way. And we are going to continue that theme with our message this morning about hope. We are glad that you're here. We do have some of our regular members who are away on vacation, but we do have visitors as well who are here, and we are grateful for your presence. We invite you back each and every opportunity that you may have to be with us, and we encourage you to come and to study and to be part of the work here at Ephesus, this branch of the vine in God's kingdom, that we could all be more fruitful together. When you think about the idea of hope, we live in a world where there's all kinds of things. There's good things, there's bad things, there's ugly things, there's things that we want to remember, there's things that we wish we could forget, there's things that we want to forget, and we do diligence to forget it. And there are some things that we hope to remember and grasp and hold on to forever and ever, and hopefully that will be a memory that as we breathe our last breath that we can remember. And to look back on life, and not in a regretful way, but in a thankful way for God, for the gifts that He has given us. But what kind of thing can get us through those different ebbs and flows and ups and downs of life? The things that get us through the difficult times to get us back to the high points, but at the same time realizing that those high points aren't near as high as God has promised for us to be in our lives with Him. And this idea of hope and this type of thing, or what are the things that we are hopeful for in different situations that we are hopeful for. And in singing of these songs, we've talked about all different types of hope and things that we look for in hope, an anchor of hope, of my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The idea that in God's gift to us, the gift of His Son and the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, that is where our hope resides. It has nothing to do about what I can do or how strong I am or how smart I could be, but rather it is this idea that I rest firmly and trust firmly in the blood of Jesus Christ as my hope. And it is in that I can be secured through the difficult times, that I can look to those high points and realize, man, there's even something better, greater beyond even this. This good that I feel right now, it can get even better. And that is a hope that I hold on to. And what is it about hope that we look at and we define? And everyone kind of defines hope a little differently. It's not really, you know, is it a wish? No, not really. Is it faith? Is it optimism or pessimism? Is it this idea of I can look at this as the glass half full or half empty? But rather, hope is this idea that whether the glass is half full or half empty, I am going to drink of the cup like it's overflowing. Because I know that I have hope and I have security in this idea that whether it is full or empty or in between, no matter what, I know that my God has promised me an overflowing cup. And this idea of hope is not just, you know, optimism and I'm going to be pessimistic about it, because all that is surely just the way you view something. You can view something that is obviously a good thing. You can look at something and that glass really is half full. And somebody can look at that, well, I think it's half empty, because it's a matter of perspective. It's about how you view it. And there's a story that I was told from a friend of mine who had a buddy they were duck hunting buddies up together. They live out west, up in the northern part, up close to Canada. And they were saying, you know, hey, man, this buddy of mine is negative Nancy. And he nothing that I say, you know, nothing can ever be right. He said, I got a house. I got a nice big old house. He said, well, could you imagine having to pay the taxes on that house? That just must be miserable. He can't be happy for me on anything. He said, I got a new job. He said, well, you got that new job. I guess you're going to have to spend more money. He said, well, yeah, I've got more money. He said, well, could you just imagine how accountable you got to be for all that? You've got to watch every penny. He said, well, he didn't know what he was going to do to get him to say something positive. So he got a new duck dog. He got this new duck dog, and this duck dog could walk on water. Like, literally. I'm not talking about maybe this story was made up. But anyhow, this dog could walk on water. And it could take out and it would walk out there. So he said, I know my buddy's going to be impressed with this. I know he's going to be impressed with it. How could he not be impressed with a dog that walks on water? So they get in the blind and they start shooting ducks and the ducks fall and dog goes out there and walks on the water and turns around and walks back with that duck in its mouth and sets it down in the pit. And that goes on all morning. His buddy's sitting over there, hasn't said a word. Hadn't said a word the whole time. They limit out and they go and they're at the truck. He said, well, what'd you think? Did you notice anything special about my dog? He said, yep. He can't swim, can he? So it's all about perspective. Something that somebody thinks is awesome and wonderful and built up, and you know, that's a good thing. And they see a bright side of it. And then somebody else can look at the same exact thing and see something negative on it. But hope is not that. That's not hope. Hope is a confident expectation. It's this idea that I can rest peacefully and with all surety that this is going to happen. I'm confident in it and I expect it to come through with that. Hope is defined as a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Whether it's because of preparation you have done, or maybe it's something, you know, that you have prepared for constantly, like studying for a test. I know my sister a lot of times, she would say, you know, I studied and I hope that I'm going to make 100 because I paid attention in class, I've showed up every day, I've studied real hard, I've read all the work and all the assigned work, and I've done all the homework, you know. And so she kind of had this idea where she hopes to make an A on it. You know, that's a real thing. She really expects herself to make that. It's this feeling of trust and this feeling of surety that you know, I trust. I'm hopeful. I hope in Jesus Christ. I trust in Jesus Christ. It is also used loosely and incorrectly as a verb sometimes, with this aspiration for something to occur, kind of like a wish, which is what I would say when I said, I hope that I'll pass this test, as a comparison to my sister saying she hopes she makes an A on the test. See, because I had not done anything. I just really want something to happen, and I hope maybe, you know, maybe whoever's in front of me studied real hard and they won't be covering their paper so much and I can make an A on this test. But other than that, you know, I really have no hope of passing this thing because I haven't done anything to trust the fact that I've studied well enough to pass it. So this idea of hope is not a wish or a dream or something where we just want something to happen. It is, we have this type of security within it. Hope is mentioned somewhere between, depending upon your version, 142 to 182 different passages in the Bible about hope. And what hope is and what hope means and what biblical hope really is this expectation of things to happen. In Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 17, it says, thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that two immutable things, in that it is impossible for God to lie, and we might have strong consolation, who have fled for our refuge to lay hold to the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. We have here a pure, clean, solid anchor of hope, and that is in Jesus Christ. It's this idea that we want to go and we trust the fact that, like that cup, it is overflowing, and I'm going to drink from that cup like it's overflowing. And it's not this idea that I hope my team wins, or I hope I make an A on my test, or, you know, I hope I can sit in my seat at church. Well, you know, are you going to do something about any of those things? You know, are you going to study more to make a better grade? Are you going to work harder on the practice field? Are you going to show up earlier to church to make sure that you've got your seat and somebody doesn't take it from you? All these things that we can do to have confident expectation. So when we read hope this morning, let's look at it from that aspect of confident expectation. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes this letter to several different Christians in various places. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of dispersion of Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Spirit and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter writes this letter to several different individuals in various places, and he says these things to them to encourage them that despite the fact of their persecution, despite the fact of oppressing government, keep the faith. Keep the faith. Why? Because we have a living hope. We have a living hope through Jesus Christ. And because of that, because of the power of God through faith that is going to keep you and to keep you sure and steadfast and secure and safe, you're going to endure all sorts of things, but don't give up. Because you have hope. Because you have hope through Jesus Christ. He tells us that we have a living hope in verse 3. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As sure as Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we have that blessed hope. And remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and when Paul was writing to the church of Corinth, and he said in verse 14, he said, if Christ did not raise from the dead, then what we are doing is in vanity. There's no point in this. We are wasting our time, our breath, and I'm wasting my pen. We might as well go out and live life and live it more abundantly and live it for ourselves. Because if Christ didn't raise from the dead. But Christ has risen from the dead. And because Christ has risen from the dead, that gives us hope to all who cleanse themselves with the blood of Jesus Christ. That we are looked at just the same as He, and we too will rise up again just as God told Jesus to come forth. And as the Spirit rolled away the stone, we know that our tomb too will be open. And that we can rise up again because we have a living Savior and we have a living hope. We are promised that permanent inheritance, one that does not spoil and fade away, that does not go and perish, but something that is in heaven with God. It is through our faith that we are shielded. And that we realize that despite whatever things may come our way, that through our faith we can rest secured with the hope that we have. It doesn't matter if it's a death or a diagnosis or a divorce or a persecution or a house fire or a rebellion or a political change. Whatever it is, our faith in Jesus Christ is where we can find our hope and our assurance of heaven. It's something that we know because He was crucified and because we were cleansed with His blood, that we have this blessed assurance of the hope to be right where He's at. And that we can accept the fact that God loves us. In Romans chapter 8, I encourage you to go and to read the entire chapter this afternoon, if you can. And if not, this afternoon, tonight, before you go to bed. And if you can't do it tonight before you go to bed, do it with the rising morning sun tomorrow. And read Romans chapter 8. If you read it and study it and take time with it, it really will only take you about 20 minutes. If you just want to read through it and say, well, I'll check that off the list, you can do it in about 10. You can do it in less than 10. Maybe some of you may can do it in 8. I don't know. But me, it took me about 10 minutes to just read straight through. To read and study about 20. You know, what are you going to do? Go on and watch The Bachelorette? Read Romans 8 tonight. Okay? Romans chapter 8. We're going to pull a few verses out here that really directly, I think, deal with us and our hope. In verse 18 through verse 21, we'll read this segment first. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation is subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption and to the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's this idea that creation longs and looks forward to and trusts in the fact that God is going to send His Son again. And that we know that we long for that day where God will reign as King, as He is King, and all of the evil will be done away with. And that there will be, all the people will be gathered there, will be saints in glory in heaven and singing praises to God. And they'll be free from this bondage of this world, this idea and the pains of birth and going forth. And even the land cries out and says, Abba, Father, we want God. And so when we look at that, we all as creation look to aspire and we look and we have this same hope, longing for the day of liberty where we can join God in heaven. Verses 24 and 25 say, For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, For where there is hope, faith, and love, the greatest of these is love. Because love will continue on forever. Faith and hope and with sight and seeing and understanding, those things will pass away. But love will continue on forever. And while we are here, we have not seen on this earth. We have not seen the glory of God. We look around and we see the effects of God's glory through creation and through what He's done through His Son. But to really actually see, like Thomas, you know, I will until I see those scars. Until I see those wounds, until I can put my hand in the hole, I will not believe. Blessed are you. Believe because you see. But blessed are those more who believe without seeing. How much more blessed do we sit here with hope? And it's this hope eagerly waiting with perseverance. That means through the ebbs and flows of life that we look and we grasp onto the fact that this is an anchor that holds us secure. And we still hope and we will hope until the day we see and then we will know. And then all we will know is the love of God. We know the love of God now, but we sit here with hope and looking forward to and holding on to His every word through the Scriptures. We do this eagerly with all perseverance and desire and anticipation, longing for the day He returns. In verse 28 it says, And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Verse 31, What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? We can be comforted knowing that when we love God, we already know that He loves us. That's how we know love, is because He first loved me. We can hope in this thing together that those who love God, everything works to the good for those who love the Lord, according to what? Our purpose, what we want, what we do. His purpose is what the passage says. And so oftentimes we get that mixed up. And that leads us to all the more depressed and down and out. And our purpose here on this earth is to bring glory unto God. That's what should bring us happiness. That's what should bring us joy, is the fact that we can glorify God through our lives, that we can be a shining light of Him in this dark world. It's not about me. It's about doing something good for someone else and saying, give God the credit. Don't give me the credit. I did that because I'm a child of God, because I want to glorify Him. And when things don't necessarily work out the way that I want, and maybe in my selfish way, maybe just in the way that, you know, what I think I need at the time. And God says, no. That I have to know that I trust Him. I have hope in His Son. And through His blood, and that I know all things work together for His purpose. And that I will accept my place in His purpose in my life. If God is for us, who can be against us? No man, no thing, no place. What will separate us from the love of Christ, it says in verse 35. shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are loved by God no matter what. And nothing is going to separate you from that. Remember 1 Peter chapter 1, he said you were shielded by your faith. In the hope that you have through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying here the fact of this. All of these things are going to happen to you. You no matter how threatened you are personally, no matter the hunger you have, no matter the loneliness you feel, no matter the tribulation or persecution, none of that can separate you from the love of God. No matter what you're going through, God is not going to quit His love for you. And so he says this to the church of Rome, and he says, don't leave him. Don't you lose your hope. Don't you give up and give out and quit because all these things are happening. Just because these things are happening to you does not mean that God does not love you. Just because you're enduring these hardships does not mean that God does not love you. We become conquerors through Him who loved us. Because of hope, we can go from suffering to glory. And brethren, we need to start living like we have hope. We need to live in such a way that we are examples to the world of the hope that lives in us. And instead of saying, well, I don't think I got a chance. We know that we have a chance. That we have better than a chance. We have hope. We have confident expectation and assurance through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that can save us. But there is hope. And there's light at the end of a tunnel. And at the end of the tunnel, it's not an oncoming train. It's the risen Savior. It's the coming out of the tunnel to the bright light. And knowing the end is near, and we long for it, and we persevere with it, and we fight like it, we have hope. And we need to start living like we have hope. And like we know what the light is like. And we might as well start today. Because that's how we're expected to live in heaven. There's a story of a teacher who every Friday at lunch, the Friday before daylight savings time, the time change, whether it was in the spring or whether it was in the fall, she would go in and go ahead and make the change. On that Friday at lunch. So whether we need to spring forward an hour, go ahead and run that clock forward. If it's fall back an hour, we'll go ahead and kick it back an hour. And she would start that change on Friday. Now what did that do for her? Well, by Sunday morning at 2 o'clock, she didn't have to get up and change her clock at 2 o'clock in the morning. She didn't have to go ahead and make the changes mentally and emotionally because she had already made those changes throughout the evening Friday and throughout the day Saturday. So Sunday morning, she was ready for the day to change and the time to change. She had already acclimated herself, if you will, to the time change. She was living like she was already there. She was already where the time had changed. Brothers and sisters, we need to go ahead and change our clocks. And living like we're already there. And to put off the things that we know that we should have no part in. And live like we have hope. You know what she was on Saturday, that teacher? She was an oddball. Because people would go, what time is it? She would say 2. And they say, well, it's not 2 o'clock, it's 1 o'clock. She said, yeah, I know, I already changed my clock for tomorrow. She's different. Should we not be different from the rest of the world too? Out of sync. Not in rhythm with what the world says and expects from us, but living like we're already there. Living in such a way that we have hope. Here's 5 things that we can do to help us with our hope. Number one, talk to Him. Talk to God. If you don't know what to say, you feel angry or confused or worried or brokenhearted, running on spiritual fumes, all you have to do is talk to God. Now, I don't know the words to say. Talk to God. Get alone and pray to Him. Well, I pray to God, you know, on the way to work. That's fine. I'm not saying anything against that. I'm not saying that can't be done. But how many times do you get away and just pray and talk to God where nobody's going to bother you for 10 minutes? Seek solace in the Scripture. Read the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 says, He gives us wings like eagles to lift us above the storm. Even on days when we feel like we can't soar or even run or even walk or move, His promise is to never leave us. Seek counsel from the wise. Now, this isn't necessarily your friends or your family. These are people maybe who have walked where you walked, struggled with what you've struggled with. They're not going to just tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you what you need. They're going to direct you through the Scriptures. They're going to be the counsel of wise and not just throw pity parties with you and for you. Live outside of yourself. Do good things for others. It's not just about you. It's about other people and living like it. Being a good Samaritan and doing the things and helping others and helping someone else just to give God the glory. The last thing that's probably the most effective thing is for you to let go of grudges. You're still angry at someone. You feel like it's going to do some good. And they're not worth the effort it takes to carry and keep on a grudge. But forgive those who have offended you. We've been forgiven of a lot more. As children of God, we have been forgiven of sin, a debt that we could not pay. No way, no how. Our blood would not cleanse it. We're messed up people. We're sinful. We're a dirty, blotted sacrifice. But Jesus Christ's blood was perfect and clean and pure and able to carry away the sins and to cleanse the sins of the entire world. If you're here this morning and you may just simply need the prayers of the congregation that to encourage you, to give you hope, that's fine. Take advantage of this opportunity. Ask a brother to stay behind and pray with you. Ask one of the elders to stay behind and pray with you. All the elders to stay behind and pray with you. Ask for forgiveness, encouragement, strength. Maybe you need to be cleansed with that blood of Jesus Christ. To the watery grave of baptism so that you know that you can have hope. Whatever your need may be, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.